check, check, one, two, stop, check, 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 check.
And also things to look at. As some of the kids came in this morning, they asked what happened to those red pieces of paper that we nailed to the cross on Friday. I think they wondered if we had performed some sort of magic trick and turned them all into white pieces of paper. Someone asked, are they going to change color back again? But this reminds us, these white pieces of paper on the cross, that all that we nailed to the cross on Friday, all that we are ashamed of, all that has injured us, all that sin has done has been washed clean because of the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. And we also have a sign here of Jesus' royalty, his kingship. We were reminded by Cindy's comments that purple is the sign of a king, and so we have the kingly color there draped over the cross, and the sign of new life as the lilies are growing there. Okay. And all of these reminders of what we can see, and even as Dave is drawing something there for those for you to see, makes me think a little bit about what is the defining way that you look at the world. What is the reality that you are guided by as you think about life? Sometimes our view of the world, our way of looking at things, gets twisted and gets out of whack. I had the experience of going to high school in a very small high school where the classrooms were also very small. And if whatever was happening with my vision that I needed glasses, I didn't realize because I was in these small classrooms and the blackboard was always very close to wherever I was sitting. And I was always able to see what was ever on the blackboard. And then I went to university. And at university, there were large classrooms where it was my preference to sit way at the back so that if I wanted to leave, no one would watch me leaving. No, I usually stayed for the whole lecture. But I was at the back of the classrooms, and I was struck by how inept the university professors were with operating overhead projectors because they were always out of focus. And they would show us slide after slide. It didn't matter whether I was in my psychology class or whether I was in my English class or whether I was in a history class or a political science class. None of these professors at university knew how to use an overhead projector, and whatever they were putting on the screen was always out of focus. Until I realized when I went for a regular examination that it was my eyes that were the problem and I needed glasses. And suddenly when I put them on, I saw things differently and realized that, in fact, the overhead was always in focus. It was that my vision of things had become skewed. And in Ephesians, Paul is concerned, I think, for the way that people look at life. What's the defining reality that is going to help us look at life? Not physically, what do we see when we look at circumstances, but what do we spiritually perceive as we go through the circumstances of life? And Paul speaks about the eyes of our heart. That's the way that we spiritually understand what's going on around us. And there's something that he wants us to understand. There's a reality that he wants us to perceive with our hearts. And it's the reality of Easter that Paul wants to plant deeply in the hearts of his readers. In fact, he says he's been praying about it over and over and over again as he thinks about those Christians in the city of Ephesus. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And for us this morning, I want to emphasize what he says in verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul is concerned that those he's writing to and those of us who are believers here this morning who share in the hope of Easter would have something happen deep in our hearts. And he speaks about it in this poetic way. He says, I hope that the eyes of your heart can open up, that something deep inside of you can perceive a reality that will change the way that you look at the rest of your life. And he talks about the hope that we have. And he talks about the inheritance that God has in the saints, and he also speaks about the immeasurable greatness of God's power. You see, the cross reveals to us the immeasurable greatness of God's love, because everything that Jesus endured at the cross is an expression of God's love for us. Every betrayal, every denial, every desertion, each word of mockery, every time that he was beaten, every time that he was whipped, all of it expresses for us the love of God. That none of these tortures, none of these abuses were sufficient for God to say, enough! I can't take anymore. I don't love the world enough to endure one more thing. In fact, the cross reveals to us that when we dish out our worst, the love of God is greater than all that we can pour on Him in our evil and sin. But the love of God is not what Easter reveals, not what Easter Sunday focuses our attention on, because Easter Sunday focuses our attention on the power of God. And Paul is concerned that deep in our hearts, we would again have it revealed to us just how immeasurable and great the power of God is, not just to raise Jesus from the dead, but for us. Did you notice what he says there? That he wants us to understand deep in our hearts that the power of God is immeasurable for us, and that that same power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places is the power that changes our reality. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul will go on to say that we too were dead. Just as Jesus was dead after the cross, we too are dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, has raised us and seated us with Christ, that our reality, that our the truth about us has changed because of the resurrection of Jesus and the power of God that works in our lives. I'm not sure when you came to Sunday morning what was the defining reality of your life. Maybe you want to think about that for a minute. What defines reality for you? Is it perhaps some difficulty that you're going through right now? Maybe that's defining reality for you. Something that you're struggling with. Maybe a physical illness. Maybe that's beginning to define reality for you. maybe some sort of relational difficulty that you're going through with someone that you deeply care about, and that struggle, that conflict, that day in and day out distance that you feel from someone that you long to be close to is really beginning to define reality for you. Maybe there's some sin that you keep hidden from most people, something that you certainly wouldn't want us to know about this morning. But the truth is that as you wrestle with that sin and fall over and over and over into its power, it's beginning to define reality for you. Maybe you're feeling pretty good about life. You're thinking about how your career is going to go, the money that you're going to be able to put away, the house that you one day will be able to buy, the retirement that you'll be able to secure. And as you think about the way your life is going to go and how you're going to climb step by step up a ladder that you've created in your own mind of all the things that you want to accomplish and succeed and achieve, that's beginning to define reality for you. And Paul's prayer is that whatever is the defining reality in a Christian's life has to be centered around these truths that he speaks about in Ephesians chapter 1. And for us this morning, for us to remember that it's the power of God at work within us that needs to be our defining reality. Both on the negative side, in the sense that maybe you're dealing with something that seems too powerful for you to overcome, and Paul would likely agree with you and say, yes, that's true, you're not strong enough to overcome that obstacle, but let your life be defined by the power of God that's at work within you, that is just that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. There is no hopeless situation because of the resurrection of Jesus, because God has proven that his power is greater even than death. And perhaps you're facing a dark reality this morning and need to be reminded that God desires that your reality would be defined not by the darkness of your circumstances, not by the oppression of your difficulties, but by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. But also there's another side to this truth, that sometimes we want our lives to be defined by our power, by what we can achieve. And maybe as things are going well in our lives, we begin to stand on the other side of the scales and say, I want my life to be defined by those things that I can accomplish. And in fact, I think I've got a pretty good life mapped out for myself all on my own. And Paul would say, you fool. Life is not meant to be defined by what you can achieve. It's not meant to be defined by the greatness of your strength. Life is meant to be defined by the power of God at work within you, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, transforming your life to become more and more the person that God designed and desires for you to be. Somewhere deep in our hearts, a light needs to go on. And life needs to be defined by the power of God at work in our lives. We need to understand that we can surrender all that oppresses us, all that blankets over our lives in darkness and despair, and that it can be defeated by the power of God. And we need to remember that we surrender our own strength as well, and say that it's not my power that defines the direction of my life. It's the power of God at work in me. The Christian life, I think, as I've thought about it in recent years more and more, has a lot to do with making room for God's power. A lot of the Christian life is simply doing those things and practicing those disciplines in our life that just make room for God's power. And hopefully this Easter reminds us, as we think about the empty tomb, as we remember the victory that Jesus has won, just how great and immeasurable the power of God truly is, so that we're inspired to just make a little bit more room, and hopefully a little bit more after that, and a little bit more after that, for the power of God to be the defining reality in our lives. That we would allow those things that sin has done to be pushed aside. That we would allow those strengths and capacities in our own life not to be the defining reality, but that instead when people would look at us, they would be able to see the glory of the power of God at work in a human life. I'm just going to let Dave continue to work on what he's doing, and as he does that, I want to pray for each one of us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we each came here this morning with a way of looking at life, with a way of understanding who we are and what's important. And some of us are carrying burdens here this morning, and they have become the defining reality of our lives. Others of us are doing quite well, and we would love to put ourselves in the center place of our understanding and make our own strengths and capacities and plans the centerpiece of our lives. Lord, our prayer just echoes the prayer that Paul records in Ephesians chapter 1, that somewhere deep in our hearts, deep in that place where we understand who we are and what really matters, that you would open our eyes to perceive the reality of your power, the reality that is stronger than any enemy we face, the reality that is stronger than we are ourselves, and that we would make it our life's ambition that through prayer and through surrender and through communion with you, we would make more and more and more space for your power. That as we affirm again this morning that Jesus is risen and that he is risen indeed, our own reality would be raised up by you with him, so that we would perceive ourselves and the circumstances that surround us through a vision of your power. Lord, make us vessels for your glory, that as we make space for your power, people would see more and more of you and less of us, so that Jesus would receive the glory that he alone deserves. We pray all of this in his name. Amen.